Our scripture reading for this morning is Luke 5, verses 27 to 32. That's on page 1077 of your pew Bibles. Luke 5, 27 to 32, the calling of Levi. After this, Jesus went out and saw the tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord.
As I said to the kids, and you were eavesdropping, we're beginning a series of messages today on the Gospel of Luke and those scenes where Jesus is sitting at the table eating with people. I guess true, you've probably experienced this in your own families, that it's when you're sitting together for supper that you have the richest discussions with your family members. And one of the sad things of life in this day is that more and more people don't eat together. I think it's my observation that families are also busy that they don't sit at table together and have that time. It's bad for personal conversation. It's also, I think, affecting our family devotions. Those of us that are in the good habit of reading Scripture and praying together, that is having a bad impact on that. But that's just something to think about. In the Gospel of Luke, there are several times when Jesus sits down for a meal with people. And we're going to be looking at these dinner conversations, and it's the things that are kind of between the pasta potatoes and "can I refill your glass" kind of comments where the insights from the Lord are brought really into focus. But before we get to the table of Jesus' meal, I'd like to look at the start of the passage that Mike read for us, these verses from Luke 5. And I'll tell you, as I studied this passage, I kept thinking to myself, "Well, that's odd. Really? That's odd." And so I'm going to be showing you the oddities of this passage of Scripture. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapters 3 and 4, Jesus begins his ministry, starts preaching and teaching and traveling around, and as he does, he is gathering disciples. In chapters 3 and 4, if you read that, you'll find that is where Jesus called Peter, James, and John, the big three, the ones that were in his most inner circle of disciples. And then when it comes to chapter 5, you see disciple number 4 chosen to be his disciple, and it was Levi. Levi is also known as Matthew. Matthew and Levi are different names for the same person. And Levi was a tax collector. Tax collectors were in the category of scoundrels. These people were deemed by good, upstanding Jews of the day to be collaborators with the Romans. People who were ripping off their countrymen so they could give their hard-earned money over to the foreign oppressors. And when Jesus finds Levi and says to him those beautiful words, "Follow me," Levi is at work as a tax collector. He is sitting in his booth, taking the money off of people, handing it over to the Romans, and actively engaged in that occupation. Now, there's something really odd about this. Two of my sons have gone to graduate school. One went to Queens, another went to Laurier, and they had to work hard to get accepted into graduate school. They had to have grades that were really high. They had to write a proposal to get in. They had to show why they were worthy of acceptance into graduate school. When it comes to disciples, we're used to reading about Jesus and his disciples, how Jesus went about it. He'd be walking along and he'd see some person and he'd say to them out of the blue, "Come and follow me, come and be one of my disciples." And because that's what we hear and we read over and over, we think that is normal, that was the way it was. But you know what? That was not the way people became disciples. People would work to become a disciple. Someone was religiously inclined, wanted to make the life of teaching and preaching their occupation. They would identify a rabbi, a teacher, and say, "Now I have to make myself known to that rabbi, and I have to show him why I am worthy of becoming a disciple. So I'm going to do good works. I'm going to put myself in his orbit. I'm going to follow him around so that he will say, 'Okay, come along and be my disciple.'" It was hard to become a disciple of a respected rabbi. But Jesus walks along, he sees a tax collector of all people, and he says to him, before this person has said a word to him, "Follow me, be my disciple." Now that is really, really odd. People would give gifts to the rabbi to, "Please take my son to be your disciple." And Matthew, or Levi, was the last person that anybody would expect to be accepted as a disciple by a rabbi. So that's odd. I agree with me. That's kind of odd the way that happened. Now, then there's a second odd thing that takes place in this passage. They, which is now Jesus and his four disciples, because Peter, James, and John have been made disciples a chapter earlier, and now Levi, or Matthew, is a disciple, they go to Levi's house, and Levi throws a great big party for Jesus. Now, this is odd. We don't catch how odd this vignette is. Remember the story, it's another part of the gospel, but there was a rich young ruler, somebody with authority and money and position, said to Jesus, engaged in a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus asked him questions back, and this guy answered really well. Jesus was impressed with his answer, and then Jesus said to this fellow, "One thing you still have to do. You have to sell all your possessions. Give everything you have to the poor. And then follow me." Now that wasn't an unusual request. We read that and we think, "Oh wow, what a thing to say." But if you were going to become a disciple of a rabbi, then that's what you had to do. You had to give up your earthly possessions. You had to say, I am dedicating my whole life to the ministry of teaching and preaching and following this master and learning from him so I can teach the same thing. He was saying to that rich young ruler, you have to become a disciple, so you have to give up your earthly things. And that was normal. So this story of Levi has an oddity to it. Because what Levi does after agreeing to become a disciple, getting up from his booth and following Jesus, is go back to his house, throw a great big feast, and invite all kinds of people. He was still in control of his wealth. So that's odd that he didn't just immediately say, okay, that's my way. Now I'm living this life of sacrifice so that I can become a disciple. He still has this wealth at his options. And then there's another odd thing. The odd things after odd things here. When he threw this party, who did he invite? If someone would say, okay, I'm leaving the life of tax collecting, I'm leaving the life of being alienated from my own people, I'm going to invite people that now represent the kind of career that I am going into. Now I am going to seek out the religious types. I'm going to invite the Pharisees. I'm going to invite the teachers of the law, and I'm going to turn my back on that evil way of living, that unhealthy kind of living. I'm going to invite the pure and the good and the religious. And I'm going to say to my old friend, I'm sorry, I'm a different person now. You can't be part of my life. But instead, Levi invited all the tax collectors, all the sinners, people that were outlaws to righteousness. And we don't see that odd. And I think when Michael read that passage to us, we didn't say, huh, that's odd. But that's another odd thing. He invited the underbelly of society, the unsavory types. And that's why the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in our text complained about it to the disciples. Say, what in the world is going on? Here we are on the periphery of this feast, and at the center of it are the people that you should be preaching against, the people that you should be railing at, and instead, we are on the outside looking in. So that was odd. One more odd thing. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they complained to the disciples. The text is very clear. They said this to the disciples, but it was Jesus who answered them. And there is Jesus, surrounded by tax collectors and sinners. And he said to those who deemed themselves to be religious and spiritually pure, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but instead sinners to repentance. I thought, he's obviously saying this when he's surrounded by all these sinners. That isn't that kind of rude? Does that strike you that Jesus would say, I've come for the sick and I've come for the sinners, and that's all these people? And say, what is Jesus saying about us? Well, I think that they knew. I think people know when they are in a spiritual bad place. And then the last odd thing I wanted to point out to you. When you think about what Jesus said, he said, I have not come, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Which implies, at the very least, that the tax collectors and the sinners, that they were the sick, the ones who needed repentance, and the healthy were the tax collectors and sinners, or the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that they were healthy. But we know as we continue to read the Gospels, that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not healthy at all. That they had had their hang-ups, that they had their misunderstandings, they had their blind spots that prevented them from seeing who Jesus was, that prevented them from hearing the message that Jesus gave, that prevented them from accepting what God was revealing as the next part of salvation history. They did not see Jesus as the fulfillment of the promises of the gospel. They saw him as a threat to their privilege. And in time, Jesus did turn to them. And he did teach them, and he did show them. And actually, next Sunday, we're going to see Jesus at a very different table. Not one in which he's surrounded by tax collectors and sinners, but with the elite, the religious power. Now, all of these odd things, I think when there's an odd thing in Scripture, we're supposed to pay attention. We're supposed to notice and think, what does that mean? And when there is something that is odd or peculiar or unusual, that's a light comes on and say, pay attention to this. Our problem is that we are 2,000 years removed from this story. We are an entirely different culture on the other side of the world. And we need to study Scripture. We need to read the Bible carefully so that we overcome the difficulty that time and culture and location bring to us. We need to learn what this means. What it is for our own practice as disciples of Christ that we can say, now that we have read this, we know that this is what it means and this is what we should do. There's a few things that we should be pondering as direct applications for ourselves in light of all of these oddities in this text of Luke chapter 5. The first one is that Jesus is the one who calls us. And that it is all grace. We think we're pretty special. We think we're so smart. We think we got it all together. That, we know these things, and therefore we choose to believe in Christ, and we choose to be active in the church, and we choose to come to worship, but that's not the way it works. And the passage teaches us that it is Jesus who calls us despite our own blindness. Levi, sitting in his tax booth, was as happy as a clam, pulling in money. He didn't care that the religious types thought less of him. He had his friends in his own circle. He was doing all right. And Jesus said, no, I am calling you out of your brokenness to be with me that you might find wholeness. And it is the act and the grace of God in Christ. And we should be thankful because we are Levites. We are people who have been called not because of ourselves, not because of anything we've done, not because of our beauty or our money or our capacities, simply because the Lord wanted us to be with him. So we see that. The second thing that, and this is really important for us, Jesus calls us, as we said, but he also wants us to connect with the worldly and spiritually wandering people that are in our circles. It is tremendously significant that Levi, leaving the tax collector world, continued to connect with tax collectors, that he invited them in to meet Jesus, to listen to Jesus, to discover what this new rabbi had to say and to discover life in that. And it is certainly a danger for us as we're involved in church and we love this church. For those of you that are guests, you know, Bethel people, we love our church and we love our people. And the danger for us is that our circle becomes smaller and becomes limited to this. And our outside relationships kind of maybe can fall away. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be salt and light and sources of blessing around us. And to be that, we need to stay connected. And in this passage, Jesus demonstrates that. He says he allows Levi to invite his former associates into the room, to the table, where these intimate discussions and sharings take place. But we also see that Levi, in time, did leave his earthly possessions. As we continue to read in the Gospel of Luke and in the rest of the Gospels and what we understand from Christian tradition and the stories of the ancient fathers and all that stuff, that Matthew did let go of all his wealth, that he took up this peripatetic lifestyle with Jesus of going from place to place, relying on the hospitality of others, so that they could bring the message of the kingdom of God. And Levi let that life of luxury go so that he could do what ministry required of him. He showed us that our treasure is in heaven. It's not on this earth. And even though lots of us have lots and lots of treasures, we can't let that become an idol to us. Instead, we need to let that go. And our first allegiance is the Lord and his kingdom. I think we see in this a lesson for ourselves that we need to go to the need. That when we are here and in this church and as a community together, and we understand the need that is in our community, that we as the people of God are called to go to that place of need and to present the message in the places where it will be received and heard. It struck me as I was studying this that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were in no place to hear what Jesus had to say. That all they were doing was griping about this and that and disrespecting Jesus all the time. And it was these tax collectors who were willing to listen to Jesus, who were coming to be with him and attending to what he was saying. There's a book, what was it called? But a lot of people read it, Purpose-Driven Life. That was it. Lots of us have read that book. And I was really struck by the way that Rick Warren started that book, and he said about surfing. He says, you when you want to go surfing, you don't go out into the glassy sea and expect that you're going to surf. You've got to watch for where the waves are and get yourself in position to catch the wave so that you can ride it in. And I see some of that demonstrated here in this text, that that Jesus went to where their receptivity was, and there he built relationships and he taught people who were ready to hear. And we need to be as smart about it as that. And I think here at Bethel, we're trying to do that as we got different programs, different things that we're doing to connect with the community and identify their need, and where there is receptivity, where we see fruit, we're saying thanks be to God and we're going with that. And finally, what I see as a good lesson for us is we need to let Jesus take the lead. When the Pharisees and teachers of the law complained to the disciples, and Jesus answered their complaint, I thought there's an important lesson for us in that too. That the disciples could have bumbled their way through an answer that probably wouldn't have been altogether correct, because they were still trying to figure out what Jesus was about and what his priorities were and that. Jesus took the lead and answered them and said, I have come to the sick and to those in need, not to the righteous or to those whose ears are stopped up. We need to let Jesus speak. And one way of understanding that is say, you know, our direction, our guidance in the work that we do as Christians has to come from the word that he has given. We need to let the Lord speak in our ministry, and he speaks to us in the Bible. So we need to understand the Bible so that what we say is echoing what he has revealed to us. Our ministry together has to be word-based, faithful to the revelation that God has given. And if we do that, then we will have a ministry together that God blesses, that sees great accomplishments that build the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of me or you. And we will see that people find blessing and peace, blessing in life. And really, again, that is what it is all about. It is good to sit at the table with Jesus, and I pray that all of us will continue to do so to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, well, we thank you that Jesus was sent to this earth, and for all the things that he was, and all the things that he said, and all that he did, we give you glory. We thank you that he sat at the table with folks, and we see today how he sat with tax collectors and people deemed to be sinners in society. That even though Jesus is purity personified, he also was love personified to those tax collectors. And now, Lord, we who are trying to be imitators of you, bringing your message to our world, wanting to let people experience you, we pray that we will be found faithful. Faithfully teaching, faithfully loving others, and so bringing lost people into the place of joy and life. Thanks be to you, O Lord. Receive our praise, receive our attention, receive our service. In Jesus' name, amen.